Do you ever notice in a mirror how a mirror seems to, what we see in a mirror appears to be north and south, east and west of, you know, reversed, but never north and south reversed. It's right to left reversed, but it's never up and down reversed. You ever notice that? You know, you try to cut your hair or something, you try to do something around here, and you just can't figure out which way to move your hand. Aren't you glad when you're not upside down at the same time? You know, would that be kind of hilarious to be upside down and backwards in your view of what you're going? And but we're going to look in the rearview mirror this morning. We're going to look at 2019. We're not turning around to look at 2019, but we're going to look in the rearview mirror. And we're going to review 2019. Just where have we been in 2019? We're still going to look out the windshield. Because the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror, because where we're going is much more important than where we have been. But where we have been can help us go forward. And so it doesn't, we got a new vehicle, it's got a backup camera on it. And I still have trouble looking forward to go backwards. I just have trouble. I need to look in the mirrors. But I need to look at the mirrors, but it says right on the camera, check all surroundings. They don't want you to just rely on just going backwards. They want you to check on all surroundings. So we're going to look in the rear view mirror, but we're going to look out the windshield. Because we're not going to turn around in life. We're going to continue to walk in life. Because where we're going is much more important than where we have been. God wants us to move forward with Him no matter where we have been in life. But where we have been and some of the scripture that we have been through will help us perhaps see clearly and go forward with God. So we have been here 52 times. I said in January, we're going to be here 52 times together. This is the 52nd time. Here's all the notes that I've had for every time I've been on this platform in 2019. Wow. Everything that I've said, everything that God has showed me in this year, everything that He wanted me to bring out of this and onto this so it could come out of this is in these notes. Hours and hours and hours looking at where God wanted us to go in 2019. And here we are, only 2 days left in this year. So I don't want to back up. I want to look back just a little bit and say, where have we been? How are we doing with what God has shown us this year? How are we doing? How has it altered our lives? Is it altering our lives? It's just a fair evaluation, kind of like stepping on the spiritual scale. Is it making a difference in my life? So let me go through some of these from 2019. Not preaching the whole message again, but just asking, how are we doing on some of this stuff? That God has showed us the very breath of God, that He brought it to us. He brought it to us, new life. All the things that God wanted us to hear wasn't to keep us in 2019, but to strengthen us for 2020. And next week when we meet, we're going to start week one of 52 together. And He's going to say stuff to us in week one and 2020 and every week that He wants us to have to live out His walk, our walk with Him in 2020. Just as He has done in 2019. So here we go, just backing up, just looking. No, I got to get the word backing up out of my brain. Here we are, just looking forward and just glancing up at the rearview mirror. In January of last year, we started to talk about how do I have a regret-free life? How do I live a regret-free life? How do I get past the regrets? How do I stop producing? Because I have regrets, and so do you. But how do I stop having regrets? And we started with that the very first Sunday last year. And I don't want to build a bunch more regrets than I have to survive. And how do I live with that regret? I would like to prevent my life from some of the regrets. Because after a while, they get deep. And so we started on a journey. In 2019, we started on this journey. God, how do I live a regret-free life? And I think we can do that. It's not that we aren't going to make some mistakes. I get that. But some of the regrets I have are major. And say, God, I don't want to continue to build the regrets when I'm trying to deal with the regrets that I already have. And I add more regrets and more regrets to that, to my life. God, help me. And so we started on a journey. So I'm just asking this morning, how are we doing? A year ago, we asked these questions. Sing joyfully to the Lord. You are righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise God. It's fitting. And in the notes, I can pull it out. I made the statement, you look good dressed in praise. You are meant to be dressed for praise. My mom used to say, I can put whatever on you, you always look like a bum. And she loved me to pieces, she really did. Justifiably so. So I just said, okay, I'm never going to tuck in my shirt again. I'm never going to, you know, so I'm just going to live the part, right? But you look good dressed in Jesus, in praise. You look good. We look good. So in order to live a life that is regret-free or regret-less, since I have less regret, I need to live a life of praise. So how are we doing on that? How are we doing on living this life, this praise of God, is acknowledging of His perfection, works, and benefits? Listen, this is I'm not preaching anything new. This was January 6, 2019. I just copied and pasted, baby. I'm just asking how we're doing. How are we doing on a praise-filled life? Are we praising God? Are we acknowledging His perfection, His work, and His benefit? Or did life get a hold of you again and start to squeeze the life out of you again, and all of a sudden, I can't see God? We need to rise up out of that, is what we said a year ago. And praise and acknowledge God. God, I acknowledge Your perfections, Your completeness, Your works, and Your benefits. And that's praise. How are we doing on that? Ezekiel, Ezra says this, with praise and thanksgiving, we sang to the Lord. He is good. His love endures. His love to Israel endures forever. Can you imagine a few thousand people, maybe 400,000 or 500,000 people singing that just all together? Can you imagine what that sounded like? Now, I've been to a professional a football game, and they're very exhilarating. Because for the most part, especially if you're at a home field advantage, when it comes time and it's like 3rd and 13, the crowd just goes crazy. All screaming, all chanting the same thing. And then can you imagine they're praising God? Ezra says, with praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love to Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord. Can you imagine what that sounded like? They were living a praise-filled life. Can you imagine? We made this statement. I made this statement last year. Push the button, please. No matter what may be ahead of us, our go-to proclamation will be, God is good and His love for this family endures forever. How are we doing on that? Can you imagine? And I can go back to the notes. I said, you can walk into the house as a dad and you can kick the dog. And you can be ugly and you can be cranky and you can be all those things. And you might be okay with that until you see your son starting to do it. But can you imagine walking into the house as a mom or a dad and saying, listen, God's love for this family endures forever. And the whole family goes crazy. How are we doing on that? How are we doing on that praise-filled life? Check up. How about the 27th of January? We talked about this. We got to embrace His word. We got to embrace His word. To embrace His and welcome and take advantage of something eagerly and willingly. Are we embracing God's word? January the 27th, we talked about that. It was part of the Regret-Free Life series that we were doing. And if we're going to be men and women of praise, we also have to be men and women who embrace God's word, not just knowing the word, but embracing the word. Not just quoting scripture, but embracing the word of God. Willingly and eagerly grabbing a hold of the word of God. As it leaps off the pages and speaks to us, and we won't let go of it. I'm telling us right now, I'm telling me, and I can look in a mirror, I'm telling me right now, if I embrace the word of God, the regrets in my life are going to start to fade away. Because God will never lead me to something that I would regret. How are we doing on that? And we talked about that week. It's from Psalm 33, 4 through 11. The word of God is right and true, and it is powerful and productive. Look what we're grabbing a hold of. How are we doing? How is your time in the word? I'm not just saying, how is your Bible reading doing? Because anybody can read the Bible, but maybe only few embrace the word. And embrace what is right and true. And embrace what is powerful and productive. And embrace what is organizational or a chaos killer in your life. Is your life chaos? Start embracing the word. Embracing what has authority. Embracing what carries victory with it. How are we doing on that? Are we embracing God's word? Are we men and women of praise? Are we embracing God's word? February 10th, we talked about being chosen. Do you know you're chosen? Do you know if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're chosen? You're not the last choice on the soccer team or the kickball team or the softball team. You're not the last choice. You are chosen. You are chosen by God. And how is that working in our lives? How is that starting to filter down into our hearts and our souls? And I know that there's so many noises in this world. It seems to me, you're this or you're that or you're not this. Or you're too much of this or you're not enough of that. But listen, we need to hear God say, I chose you. I chose you. I chose you. You weren't the runt. It didn't matter if you were the runt of the litter or if you were the cream of the crop. It was me that chose you. I chose you. And we just unpack some of what he chose us for. And so a couple of messages, we talked through some of these. You have been chosen to be people who are sealed with the Spirit. You are chosen to receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. Do you realize that? The word for power is dunamis. We try to understand how powerful explosives are. And so we borrow that word and we call it dynamite. Which falls so much short of the dunamis, I understand. But he said, I want you to know, you've been chosen to have power. I didn't just choose you to sit on the couch. I still chose you to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. I chose you to be powerful in the Spirit. I chose you to rise up in power. I chose you to be people that stand in victory. I chose you to be people that I've handed the shield of victory to. I've given you a shield of victory. I have chosen to be people who carry the sword of the Spirit. I've chosen to be people who have been given the armor of God. It's in your closet. It's like my suit. I never wear it. It's in plastic. Waiting for me to die, maybe, and put me in it. But don't put the armor of God in plastic and hang in your cupboard. You weren't chosen to just have it in your closet. You were chosen to wear it. It fits you. It fits you. The armor of God. You have been chosen to wear the armor of God. and you look good in it, and you are, it fits you. You have been chosen to be people who go from strength to strength. You've been chosen to carry a treasure. At times you've been chosen to be hard pressed on every side, but you were not chosen to be crushed. Sometimes you were chosen to be perplexed, but never hopelessness or despair. You were maybe chosen to be persecuted, but you will never be chosen to be abandoned by God. Just because you're facing some persecution doesn't mean that God has left you alone. He said, I chose you, but I will never abandon you. I will never leave you alone. How are we doing on that? Look out the windshield. 2020 is coming. But just take a glance up in the mirror and remember what God has spoke to us this year. I chose you. I chose you from going from strength to strength. Sometimes to be hard-pressed, but never crushed. I did not choose you to be crushed. At times, chosen to be struck down, but not destroyed. I have chosen for you to have great authority. I chose you to stand in the gap between God and people. I have chosen you to have access to the throne room of God. I have chosen you to have access to the very presence of God. Woo! You can come into the very presence of God. I know, God is omnipresent. We're in the presence of God all the time. But there's something about the throne room of God. There's something about the very presence of God. And he says, you've got the ticket. It's a relationship with Jesus. You have been chosen to come into the very presence of God. Wow. How are we doing on that? We have been chosen to bring our worship, our thanksgiving, praise, and needs to God. We have been chosen to touch heaven and bring heaven to earth. I'm telling you what, in 2019, I was rocked by that. As I studied through what we refer to it as the Lord's Prayer, that I could ask for God's kingdom to come and that God would release it and I could touch heaven and I could bring it to earth. You've been chosen to do that. You have been chosen to be the private property of God. For those of you who own ground and endeavor at times to remain private property for hunting or whatever, how aggravating it is that when you find somebody else building tree stands and hunting and driving on your property. How aggravating is it for God to know that you're his private property and this world is being allowed to drive all over you? How are we doing on that? We've been chosen to be proclaimers of God himself. We've been chosen to know that light defeats darkness. Whoa, hang on, new lifers. Light defeats darkness. You ever realize that, ever notice that it's never too dark to push the light back in your flashlight? Wouldn't that be kind of freaky, wouldn't it? It's really dark. The light loses. It never loses to the dark. Never. It's never too dark that the light will not come on. Can you imagine a life where it was too dark for light to come on? And God says, I chose you to know that in your own life. That it's never too dark. When I send you in, the light goes in. It can't squelch you. You will light up the room. How are we doing on that? Look out the windshield because 2020 is coming. But take a glance up in the rearview mirror. And say, how am I doing on that? How am I doing? Am I realizing these things? Have I taken a hold of these things in my life? February 17th, we talked about, do we want to know his power? And I asked these questions, am I an observer or am I a knower? And listen, I know I'm only on February, but I'm more than like halfway through. So, okay. So, right? The Bills are already in the playoffs, so it doesn't really matter if we... Sorry. Hey, when you have one time in like 25 years, you've got to bask in that a little bit, hey? Yeah. Do we want to be just observer, or do we want to know God's power? Do we want to observe God's power, or do we want to know God's power? And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him and sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then Acts says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Promise, guarantee. When you have a relationship with Jesus, you get the Spirit. When you get the Spirit, you get the power. No relationship with Jesus, no power. Relationship with Jesus, power. Now, do you want to know that or just look at it? Just observe power, or do we want to be knowers of that power? We talked about that last February. The power will cause supernatural actions. And we looked at Acts 8. It says this, and power to leave our place and to join Jesus in His place. Push the button, please. The Spirit comes through being in Christ. The power comes from the Spirit. No relationship with Jesus, no Spirit. No Spirit, no power. But with Jesus, we have power. Push the button again. I just wanted, how are we doing on that? And what did that power look like? What does that power look like? And according to Acts 8, is what we looked at that week, it says this, I have the power to leave our place and to join Jesus in His place. An observer will want Jesus to join them. A knower will join Jesus. We got a whole bunch of Christians in this world that want Jesus to join them. And those that know the power will join Jesus wherever He's working. Push the button again. Now, power to experience great trial and injustice and stay the walk. An observer will succumb to hardship. A knower will be steadfast. Because you know the power. And you know that the darkness is defeated by the light. And you know that you might be hard-pressed, but you're not crushed. And you will know. You just won't look at it from the outside. You will know the power. I want to know that power. I don't want to just look at that power. I want to know that power. We talked about that last February. Push the button. The power that heals and restores. An observer will hear stories of healing and restoration. The knower will experience healing and restoration. Push the button. The power that enables one to speak the word boldly. The word of God boldly. An observer will talk about the word, and a knower will speak the word. There's a big difference, and we talked about that last February. There's a big difference in talking about the word and speaking the word. How are we doing on that? Power to demonstrate wonders and miraculous signs. An observer will only be told the stories, the knower will be the story writers. I want to be a story writer. Oh, I want to hear your stories, and I want to read your stories. But you know what? I don't only want you to hear my stories. I want you to know the story. The power to overflow with hope. An observer will wish, the knower will hope. There's a big difference between wishing and hoping. We talked about that last February. How are we doing on that? This message is not meant to throw a wet blanket on anybody. But God spoke these things into our life throughout the year. And many other things. And I think sometimes it's just a fair evaluation just to check the rearview mirror every once in a while. To check the surroundings. How about if we jump to April? April 14th. We talked about this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. We walked through that passage for a while, and on the April the 14th, we got to patience, and patience is long to get riled. How's your long to get riled? And I remember in the notes I wrote this, as you're long to get riled, I packed his bags and left. Do you have a long to get riled? Do you have patience? Where's your patience? Have the power of the patience. And the ability to stand. The ability to, when we were being provoked, to stand strong. The ability to take a great deal of provoking without becoming irritated and angry or taking revenge. God says, I got that for you. How you doing with that? Some days really well. Other days... Because the provoking gets into my soul at times. And we talked about soul enamel, remember? How tooth enamel protects us. And patience is like soul enamel. It protects us. It protects us when that provoking comes into our life. And it can't get in and start to make the calls in my soul. Just like the sugar or whatever we eat, when we have good enamel, it can't get in to cause the damage to the living part of the tooth. And patience is like that. And then we just quickly looked at the signs of have soul decay. Losing our temper in the presence of frustration. How are you doing with that? Becoming irritated by hardship. Taking vengeance in the face of conflict. Losing my capacity to bear pain or trials. The inability to restrain yourself under an annoyance and lashing out when you are provoked. Do you lash out when you're provoked? That just means you need more patience. Long to get riled. How are we doing on that? April the 28th, Tobin brought us a message about fear. I have it in my notes, and so powerful as I looked over that several times through the years. And just this past week, I looked over that message. And just some of the things. There's no storm. Tobin said, no storm is strong enough to keep Jesus from showing up. Oh, man, that needs to be on a t-shirt. Just like darkness can't keep the light from happening, no storm can keep Jesus on the shore. Don't fear. Look what else he said. God will not be conquered, thus either will I be conquered. Because God is in you, you will not be conquered. The enemy will be defeated at the hands of God. Oh, man, this is powerful stuff. I was getting like my hair was standing up on my arms when I was reading this week. So not true, is that? I go, whoa! God created you strong. You know that? Do you know that? The world weakens us. God did not create you weak. He created you strong. He created you to walk with Him. God takes care of our past and our future. Don't fear your past. God's got that. Powerful words that were shared. Part of our challenge in 2019. How about in June of 16th of 2019, we talked about some family maxims, some family rules, some family guidelines in our life. And we looked at this passage in Colossians. We come up with these family maxims. How are you doing? How's your family doing? We will each know our position and play it well. Do you know your... But, oh, I don't know. I need to be ahead of this person. You've got a position for great alert. You're the running back. Get behind the quarterback. You're 325 pounds, 6'10". You need to be in front of the quarterback. Because if you ain't, he ain't going nowhere. Know your position, and we will play it well. You can count on me. I will be the running back. I will be the corner. I will be a lineman. I will be the tight end. I will be a corner. Whatever, God, wherever you've got me, I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it well. Because it's not just about me. It's about the team. It's about the family. And this family is going to win. In Jesus' name, this family is going to win. We will love first and continually. That's a powerful one. Parents, parent, kids, follow. Kids, that one's for you. Just so you know, if you're under 18, you ain't a parent in that house. Listen to your parents. Let them parent. You know what? It's not that easy to be your parents either. So suck it up. And you should try to be the parent of a whole brood. How about it? Some of you have 4, 5, 6 kids. You're going to need to give your mom and dad a break, and you're going to have to let them parent, and you're going to have to be a kid. You know what? You're going to be a parent, and you're going to have to work, and you're going to have to do all that stuff someday. Don't try to get ahead of yourself. Just be a kid. And let your parents parent. We will have open and honest communication. We will honor God in our work and our play. Family maxims, we talked about those. How are we doing on that? Twenty more pages of notes. Hang in there. October 13th. We talked about, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. There is something beyond new birth. We must grow. Jesus says, I give you a faith. Add to your faith. And we started to unpack that. What he wants us to add to our faith. And he said, add to your faith goodness, or this unbridled moral muscle. I know I skipped the slide. Worse, work with me. Gentleness, goodness is this unbridled moral muscle, a passionate and fiery preference of right to wrong. I want to do what's right. He said, add that to your faith. Watch what happens when you start adding that to your faith. It's kind of like vinegar and baking soda. As a kid, that was a great experience. They didn't have Mentos when I was a kid. That's even a better experience. But start adding it. Start seeing the action. Add to your faith goodness and this deeper and enlarged knowing of a holy, righteous, loving, just, all-powerful, all-knowing, and living God. I want you to know me more. How are we doing on that? Self-control, this ability to stay on course in the face of internal resistance and conflict. Perseverance is the ability to stay on course in the face of external resistance and conflict. You see the difference? Self-control is internal. Perseverance is external. He said, add to your faith, godliness, the capability and privilege to be like God. Can you imagine? You can be like God. Okay, you're not God, and you're never going to be God, but you can be like God. Wow. Brotherly kindness, this life-changing affection for brothers and sisters in Christ, and add to that, dear love, this affection and passion that compels one to move toward and connect to. Oh, how are we doing on that? Because verse 8 of that passage says this, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me end with this one. Maybe I would just simply ask what the Grinch experienced last week. That in one moment, perhaps his heart grew 3 times the size. Are you letting Jesus do that in your life? Then in one moment, He wants to grow our hearts. And then in the next moment, He wants to grow our hearts again. How are we doing on letting Him grow our hearts? If your heart is damaged, He'll heal it, and then He'll grow it. In 2020, we're going to continue to unpack the Word of God in this times together, 52 times. And you're going to hear from me, you're going to hear from Tobin, Jeff, you're going to hear from MJ, you're going to hear from others that will come up here, share testimonies, some testimonies online for 2020. And it's all so God can speak to us and grow our hearts perhaps 3 times the size in just 1 week. How about a new life? A little check in the rearview mirror. But we're going 2020. In Jesus' name. Stand with me today. This is one of my prayers where I don't want us to close our eyes because I want to look at us. Maybe you can call it a blessing. God, we're going out of this room today. And we're not looking at anything else other than You today and what You want us to look at. You have brought us through 2019. You have strengthened us and perhaps even grew our hearts 3 times the size. In Jesus' name, I'm looking forward to 2020. Of where You will unpack for us in the Word of God every word You want us to hear. Personally and corporately. You're going to speak to us over and over and over and over this coming year. I can't wait, God, to hear what You're going to say. Thank You for all that You've said to us in the past year. But I'm looking out the windshield. In Jesus' name, we're going forward. And God's going to do mighty works in and through us this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.